Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. So today, as always, I have the privilege and opportunity to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hello to Natalie. Hey, Natalie, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pam. Thank you.
It's so good that you're going to be a guest with us. I'm just excited to learn a little bit more about you and your story and about what your experiences were at your very first NSA conference. So I'm delighted that you're here with us.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited too.
Oh, great. So to get us started, would you mind formally introducing yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, and what you do to keep yourself busy?
Sure. My name is Natalie Bragan. I live in Fairfield, Maine. I was born and raised in Maine. I work for the state of Maine. I am actually an accountant, a managing staff accountant with the state. I've been doing that for 6 years. I've also been married for 6 years to a wonderful man. We like to watch movies. We like to listen to music. A lot of really low-key things. we're pretty low-key bunch here in Maine. So that's a little bit about me. Yeah.
Okay, great. So where is Fairfield, Maine? Where in the state of Maine is that located?
It is a little bit more inland. It's probably in it's the western part of central Maine. About 25 minutes from the capital. North of the capital.
All right. And you said you're born and raised, so you've lived there all your life?
I have.
Is it a small town that you're in?
Right now, it's relatively small. It's relatively small. It's right next to the larger town of Waterville, Maine. I grew up in a very small town, Northampton. Nobody's ever heard of it, so that's all right.
Myself included.
Yeah.
And you said that you work, as an accountant, and a managing accountant at that. What got you interested in that field?
Oh boy. It's actually a relatively long story. I had originally thought I wanted to be a nurse. Actually, in high school, I went through a vocational program that would have given me my CNA, my Certified Nursing Assistant's license. Mm-hmm. But about halfway through that program, about like 2 days into clinicals, where you actually have to work in either a hospital or a nursing home, I realized I did not want to be a nurse. Yeah, too many. I found out I'm a little bit squeamish. The bodily fluids that you have to deal with in that job kind of threw me there. So I actually went to college my first year for laboratory sciences. Hmm. Because I thought that I still wanted to work in the healthcare field. Realized there's a heck of a lot of science in laboratory sciences. So I took like an entire year of sciences and realized didn't really want to do that either. So I just swung completely the other way. And decided I love math. I've always loved math. I like, you know, things that require logic, you know. So I actually got my degree from the University of Maine in Orono in the business administration, concentrating in accounting and management information systems.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and I loved every bit of both concentrations. So, mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. So as an accountant and as a manager, right? You're a manager as well. Mm-hmm. How does your stuttering impact your work, or does it?
It's actually not bad at all at work. I think I probably went years without very many people actually knowing that I stuttered. It's relatively good in high stress situations. It's actually not too bad. It's actually worse in intimate settings. You know, when I'm talking one-on-one, or if I'm talking with my husband or with my family. So yeah, it actually tends to be worse the more comfortable that I am.
Wow, that's interesting. That's like the complete opposite that it is for most people.
Yeah. I thought that it was rather odd as well. I actually learned that was the way it was my last year of college.
Okay.
When I had to do a presentation. It was the only one that really I ever had to do in front of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor was not letting me out of it. so I had actually worked with my up and coming speech therapists. They were actually graduate students at the university. I worked on it with them, you know, and kind of mock presented with them. And then when I actually did the presentation, I found that I was very fluent. I was very comfortable. I was very confident. And I think maybe that might have been because, you know, of the practice that I had.
Okay.
But it also, you know, it kind of helped because I was like, all right, you know, if I have confidence and I really know my stuff, you know, then, you know, I'm not as nervous and I'm just kind of doing what I do, you know? So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And you mentioned that you had practiced the presentation with an up and coming speech therapist. So you've had therapy?
I have. I actually I didn't have therapy probably until I was about 19 or 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have really therapy that was really geared towards stuttering. It was, well, the therapy that I had when I was younger, the speech therapist wasn't really specialized in stuttering, and she hadn't really had any clients that stuttered, especially children. She mainly worked with children with developmental disabilities or intellectual disabilities. And so because I had neither one of those things, it was basically just stuttering. She did help a little bit, but she was kind of learning with me. And I didn't really stick with it for very long when I was young, until I heard about the graduate program at the University of Maine, and the fact that they offered actually free speech therapy as a learning experience for the graduate students.
Wow.
So that's kind of where I got my first like really intensive, like very focused stuttering speech therapy.
Mm-hmm. And it was free? Wow.
Free.
Does it continue to be free?
I believe it is actually, if you have it at the university with the graduate students.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped after I graduated from college.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that was very, it sounds like it was very useful and very meaningful for you to be part of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It helped me tremendously. Really, I mean, what I've said about speech therapy in the past, is that it helped me more with my acceptance, as well as making me more confident when I speak. It made it easier for me to say what I wanted to say when I wanted to say it, and with exactly the words that I wanted to say it with. It really helped me get around my circumlocution, my word changing. I did that a lot. That was a big coping mechanism for me. It was to switch my words out. But really, I mean, when I did that, it just degraded my confidence because I knew I wasn't speaking with the best words that I knew. I wasn't conveying my message the best way that I knew how. And speech therapy, it helped me tremendously in that area because it gave me the tools, to get out of my blocks, to, help me to say what I wanted to. And that was a big part of speech therapy for me. And then, except it helped with the acceptance at first because I could stutter a little bit, and get out of it. So it kind of helped me to show a little bit more of that stutter, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it
Kind of
does.
like, yeah, it's like because a lot of the ways that you get out of a stutter is you kind of have to start the stutter first. And then I could pull out of it, or I could, use an easy onset, or I could use all of the other tools that they gave me. So it kind of helped with acceptance a little bit that way, but definitely the NSA has helped tremendously with that.
Now, before we go on to talk about the NSA and your chapter and the conference, I just wanted to ask a quick question. Would you say that you've largely been covert?
I would say yes. Yes, I was. Actually, for probably, well, yeah, absolutely. For more than half of my life, I have been covert. I got out of every presentation that I possibly could in high school and in college alike. I was actually homeschooled for most of my education. I only attended public school in my junior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had a lot of opportunity to be covert. I mean, I was very introverted, and not in like the good, healthy, introspective kind of way, in kind of like the dark, negative self-image kind of way. I mean, being covert was a big part of my life growing up, especially with new people or in public.
Why were you homeschooled? Just out of curiosity.
Actually, a lot of my siblings were homeschooled. My mother is actually a teacher, and my dad is also a teacher, and my grandfather, who lives next door, was a teacher. So I had a lot of teachers around me. I never really asked my mom like why I was homeschooled for so long. None of my siblings were actually homeschooled for as long as I was. I think a lot of it was that I wanted to be homeschooled. I didn't want to go to public school. I don't even remember like wanting to go my junior year. I was absolutely terrified. I mean, yeah, I was literally shaking in all of my classes, I mean, just because I was like, I had been so covert for so long, and I was like, this is too much, I can't stay covert here, and that scares the life out of me. Or at least it did scare the life out of me. But my mom did want me to have a high school diploma rather than having the homeschooled diploma. She thought that that would be helpful in getting into colleges and things of that sort. So she did have me go to school. It was actually the second semester of my junior year, so it wasn't even the full year.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was only really in school for a year and a half of high school before college. And I think another part of the reason why she had me go to high school, you know, was to kind of prepare me a little bit for college, you know, because college was going to be, you know, a lot like high school, you know, different, you know, but you were definitely going to have the social aspects of high school and college as well. So I think she wanted to prepare me for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
I have 5 siblings, 1 older and 4 younger.
Mm-hmm. And does anybody else in the family stutter?
My little brother stuttered a little bit growing up when he was really young. He doesn't necessarily stutter so much anymore. I hear it a little bit at times. He actually was talking to me about it the other night.
Oh, cool.
Well, because I had been asked that at the NSA conference, and I realized that I never really talked to him about stuttering. I kind of thought that he didn't really identify himself as a stutterer now. But I was talking to him, and he did tell me that he thought he really did stutter pretty badly when he was younger. And he realizes that he doesn't really stutter that much anymore. And he doesn't really identify himself with the stuttering community. Mm-hmm. But he was telling me how he stuttered more when he would like think about his words going out and then start saying them. But if he didn't think so much about them, that he didn't stutter as much.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, because I thought that like when I thought about what I was going to say, then I could like use my tools better, because, you know, okay, I already know what I'm going to say now. Now I can think about using the tools to get me out of a stutter or help me to be a little bit more fluent. So I thought that was interesting. That was actually the first time that I had really talked to him about his stutter, and the NSA conference kind of brought that out. So
yeah, wow, awesome. So let's get right into that. So you're just back from your first ever conference of the National Stuttering Association. What made you want to go? How'd you hear about it?
Well, I had heard about it when I joined the local chapter of the NSA in Maine, probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And there were some people from my local chapter who had gone, and they had so many fantastic things to say about the conference, you know, just about how life-changing it was and the amazing people that they met at the conference. And the conference was so close this year. It was in Washington, D.C. I was like, I don't have any more excuses not to go at this point. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what the conference can offer me. I really, to be honest, I wasn't sure when I got there. I consider myself pretty hard to impress. it's actually an acquired trait from my husband, whom I affectionately call super critic, at least in my head. Like, yeah, not so much out loud, but but I have to admit, the conference was more than I could have ever imagined. It was absolutely fantastic.
What was it like as a first timer? Like when you first got there, did you find it overwhelming, or just what was it like?
Absolutely. It was overwhelming. I got to the hotel, and I swear I wasn't in my room more than 5 minutes before I started crying.
Oh, no.
It was so overwhelming. I've told this story to tons of people, so it's all right. I was so overwhelmed. It was actually my first trip completely alone.
Okay.
I didn't know anybody there. I got to my room and I was absolutely terrified. I was just like, why am I here? Why did I come by myself? What's wrong with me? You know? And so, you know, after sucking it up, crying a little bit more, sucking it up again, I finally went down into the lobby. And that's where I walked up to you, Pam, the first person that I met at the NSA conference.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Oh, wow.
Yep.
I did not realize that that came on the heels of you having been upstairs and kind of melting down a little bit.
Yes. I put a cold washcloth on my face, cleaned myself up.
Oh,
I was like, nobody can know this.
You know, but I bet you you're not the only one. I bet you you're not the only one that may have had that experience, because it can be really overwhelming when you're just there by yourself and maybe you don't know what to do or you don't know how to go about meeting other people, especially because a lot of people who've been to conferences before already have established groups, and it's hard to break into that. But you came right up and you introduced yourself to me, and then I realized we had talked over the phone beforehand. And how cool is that?
That was really cool. That was really cool. I had actually seen you on a couple of YouTube videos, I believe, on stuttering. So I kind of had an idea of what you looked like in my head. So I was like, I think that's Pam. I'm going to go over to Pam because she was the one who called me. So.
Oh, I'm so glad you did.
And you were absolutely fantastic, Pam. I just wanted to tell you how much I really appreciated you kind of taking me under your wing that first night at the conference. It made all of the difference.
Oh, well, I'm glad it did, and I'm glad I was able to kind of pay that forward a little, because I remember my first conference 8 years ago. I remember feeling, oh my God, why am I here? Why did I do this? And it's scary. It can be scary. So, and I went from New York to Long Beach, California. So that was a big trip on my own. So good. I'm glad that worked out well. So your second day was all right then?
It was. Actually, I kind of have an interesting story about that second day. If you'd like to hear it.
I'd love to. We'd love to.
It was actually one of my favorite times at the conference. Wednesday morning, I was implementing my foolproof, totally stumbled upon strategy of mulling around the lobby, looking totally lost and nervous until somebody came up to talk to me. it was a totally great strategy. Luckily, this guy named Ryan McDermott came up to me. We started talking, and he invited me to tag along with him and a few others from Texas to the Holocaust Museum.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So after walking, you know, what he kept saying was like, oh, just a little bit further, just a little bit further in like 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
We finally reached the Holocaust Museum. When we got there, we actually had to get tickets. And the tickets were free, but they had tour times on them. And Ryan got the tickets, but to our dismay, they were set for tours about an hour later than we got there. And there were actually workshops that started at 1:00, and we had got there at 10:30. So we were like, oh no, you know, it's an 11:30 start time. And so it was kind of like, oh no. But the ticket counter was asking for anyone who works for the military or for the government. And I, as you heard before, I work for the state of Maine. So, you know, timidly, I walked up to the ticket counter, you know, and after being told to spit it out.
Oh, no.
and then bonding actually with the same ticket guy over the fact that we were both accountants, we got tickets with no set tour time on them. So they were actually tickets that didn't have a set time. So we could go right in. And if I hadn't spoken up, we would not have been able to spend the time that we did in the museum and have the experiences that we had, you know, just sharing the emotion and the reflection of the Holocaust Museum. It was actually pretty intense. But I realized, you know, if I, you know, hadn't spoken up, or if the second he had said, spit it out, you know, just walked away, basically,
yeah.
You know, that we wouldn't have had, those experiences. So that was kind of an interesting thing that kind of got me out of my shell that first day in Washington.
Yeah. Wow. So not only did you advocate for yourself and for the others that were with you in your group, but it sounds like you had a really wonderful experience seeing and experiencing the Holocaust Museum as well.
Absolutely.
Wow. Ryan McDermott is one of my favorite people. This was his first NSA conference in 12 years. And he had gone first when he was a really young kid. And I only went to my first NSA conference 8 years ago. So where I first met Ryan was at the Friends Conference. Friends is the National Association of Young People Who Stutter, and I've gone to five of their conventions, and that's where I first met Ryan in New Orleans in 2008. So I think he went to the NSA conference this year because he views himself as like grown up now. And so that's cool that you latched up with him too, because he's really good guy.
He is. He's a fantastic guy. Really, really outgoing, really nice. I got to meet up with him a few more times during the conference. So that was nice.
Good. What were some of your favorite workshops that you attended?
There were definitely some workshops I wish I had attended from what people had told me about them. I really wish I had attended the storytelling workshop. I heard that was super fun. Some of my favorite workshops at the conference were the open mic.
Okay.
I actually went to two of those. I went to one. I didn't talk, but I really loved just hearing people's stories, you know, seeing people, you know, get up there, face their fears, and, you know, tell their story. I love hearing people's stories. So I'm definitely going to be listening to some of your other podcasts because they sound really, really interesting. The open mics were really great. I went to a few others that were interesting. You know, I didn't necessarily speak up in a lot of them. I did go to the speed meeting, for the 20 somethings.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. I met some really neat people. It was pretty loud though in those, cause everybody's trying to talk at once. So, I hope I heard everybody correctly, in that one. But I would actually have to say that the open mics were were some of my favorites.
Yeah. So you went to two. Did you get up and speak during the second one?
I did, actually.
Oh,
yes.
Yay!
In the first one, I had actually met Greg. I don't know if you know him, but he's been to multiple conferences, and he tried to get me to go up in the first one, and I was like, there's not enough time. It was like the end, but like five people went after I said that, and I was like, oh, I guess there was enough time. But I did get up and speak at the second one. Felt like I was rambling a little bit. I had to stop myself. But it was really empowering to get up there and, you know, kind of tell a little bit of my story. I hope that somebody got something out of it. I'm not so good at like inspiring, you know, like words of wisdom, but you know, if anybody got anything out of it, you know, then it was definitely worth it.
Oh, good, good. And it sounds like it was empowering for you personally to just make that move and actually get up from your chair and go up there and do it.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So, what's it been like for you since you got back? Have you shared your experiences with your NSA chapter since you've been back?
I did actually. They scheduled their monthly meeting the Thursday night after I had gotten back from the conference. It was in a restaurant. There were actually four new people there.
Cool.
Which was wonderful. I love seeing new people at the main chapter of the NSA. So I was actually there with three other people who I had seen before, all of which had, been to an NSA conference in the past. So there was some lively discussion. I did tell them about my experience. They had some questions about it, which was great. I'll actually be, talking with one of the girls who went last year, more about the conference soon. We're actually going to get together sometime in the near future to discuss our experiences.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun. Yeah.
I've actually had a chance to speak with a woman that I work with about the NSA conference. She had seen what I had posted on Facebook. And she came up to me. Yeah, she came up to me and said that her son also stutters, and that he basically stutters more when he gets excited about something. And he had been noticing that he had been stuttering more. And so I kind of, you know, told her a little bit about what I saw in the kids at the NSA conference. She asked if they were held every year, and I told her they absolutely are, and they're open to everybody. They're open to her as a parent of a child who stutters. They're open to him as a child who stutters. And just how much I saw in the kids, just the confidence that they were displaying, how much fun that they were having together. And stuttering didn't even really matter. I mean, it was the reason that they were all there, but they seem to be having so much fun together. And that I wish that I had had that growing up. And so I hope that, you know, that if his stutter is bothering him, you know, that she's able to take him to one of these conferences.
Wow. How did that feel when she came up to you after having seen it on Facebook?
Well, it felt pretty good, actually. I was kind of hoping that some of my coworkers that I am friends with on Facebook would see it. I was actually walking into work on Monday, and one of the other women that I work with was telling me how much she loved my post and how great she thought the NSA was.
Oh, that's terrific. That is so nice to hear. And do you think that you'll go again next year in Chicago?
I hope to go to a future NSA conference. I'm not sure if it will be so soon. They are rather expensive to get to. I actually got a scholarship this year to attend as a first timer. And so I love the fact that those are available.
Yes.
For people for their first time. If their finances are a part of the reason why they haven't gone before. So it definitely makes that excuse kind of null and void.
Right.
So, but I really do hope to attend a future conference.
Oh, I hope you do too. So after next year, the following year is in California. And that's going to be a combined event of both the NSA and the International Stuttering Association. They'll have their world conference with us in California. So that'll be like a major event. There'll be people from all over the world attending that particular conference. Now that'll probably be expensive for those of us on the East Coast wanting to go to the West Coast. But they try to alternate as much as they can from one coast to the other. So hopefully after the California one, it'll be back on the East Coast. Mm. So in kind of wind down mode, because it's already been almost 45 minutes, and the time just flies. What would you say to a young girl or a teenager that might be listening in, who's been thinking about going to a conference, but has been really nervous about it? What advice would you give her?
Oh boy. It's perfectly all right to be nervous about going to one of these conferences. It is overwhelming at first, but it quickly becomes amazing. It quickly becomes family. So many people, especially when you're wearing that first timer badge, that badge is like gold. People just start coming up to you and saying, "You're a first timer. This is awesome. We're so glad you're here. We're so excited that you're here." You know, and they really make you feel welcome. You know what? And if you meet people there who don't make you feel welcome, there are 10 more people who will, you know, to offset that one. So it's definitely an amazing experience. I would say that, you know, kind of some of the lessons that I've learned over my life would definitely play into this. And one of those is avoid regrets at all costs, you know, because once they form, there's nothing you can do to rid yourself of them. I mean, I wish that I hadn't let my perception of my stutter defeat me when I was young. I let it win on way too many occasions. I let it stop me from doing things that I wished that I had the courage to do. So if your perception of your stutter is holding you back, change the way you think about it and go for it. So definitely attend a conference. It will change your life. And I hope that the ways that it has changed me just persist until I get to another conference.
Wow. Well, this has been such a wonderful conversation, and I feel like we've just only scratched the surface, actually. But I just want to thank you so much for coming on and being so open and sharing the fact that it was a little scary at first, but you did it and you're glad and you don't have any regrets, as you say. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Pam.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.